The first question, what do these verses teach us about change in the life of a believer? And the two passages I put down was 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, and Ezekiel 36, 25 through 27. 2 Corinthians 5, 17, we probably all know it very well. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, his new creation, old things are passed away, behold, all things have become new. Ezekiel passage, not so familiar. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean, and I will cleanse you from all filthiness and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will make the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. A heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Okay. When you probably leaning more heavily on the 2 Corinthians passage, but what does it tell us about change in the life of a believer? Absolutely. A true Christian, first of all, a true Christian, this is really critical in this day and age, a true Christian will change. It is just part of the package. So when somebody says a prayer and then things continue on, something's serious wrong. And God makes it possible through spiritual renewal. It is a God thing that's at work. And that is very exciting. It's very comforting to me. I can look back at my own life. Even now I see God working on my life and changes, even though I've been a Christian now for decades. Go on. What does John chapter 15, 1 through 5 say is the Lord's expectation of genuine believers? I'll read it. Listen carefully. I am the true vine, my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, and as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. What's it tell us? What's the Lord's expectation of us? Okay, say it louder. Yes, through life change. Specifically, He is more specific than we like it. He says you're going to bear fruit. You're going to be able to look around and see where God working through you has produced change. Particularly, I think the emphasis, if you read the whole context here, is souls. It also has changed lives. Now, my point to this is, you can get old in Christ and see very little of this. Because it's not impossible to get preoccupied with the things of the world, isn't it? It's easy to get preoccupied. But I'm saying to you, it is God's expectation that we bear fruit. If you were called before him tonight, and he was to say, show me your fruit, would you be able to produce anything? Anything come to mind? The truth is, some things should. Since God promised to work, to be working in you, what does God expect of you when you read Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13? 12 and 13 says, now we're asking, what does he expect of us? Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. Well, what does he expect? God will enable you to change, and you must do it. Again, status quo, and we see this in our Christian culture of America, because we aren't under persecution, so it doesn't come out in that way. So people can say, oh yeah, yeah, I'm a Christian. Yeah, I've said the prayer. Yeah, I'm a baptized member of a church, and nothing happens. That's not good. There's a day of reckoning. Okay, so I'm going to get into change very quickly, because I only want to consume another 7 minutes. What three steps does God call for in Ephesians chapter 4, 22 through 24? What four steps that are related to change? I mean, what three steps, I meant to say. What are they? Well, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22 through 23, anybody know them before we say it? Right? And then put on the new. It's put off through a renewing of our mind. That's really critical. We get into the Word, and then we put on new things. Again, change. And you know, one of the things, you want to know what should be going on in our life? A whole lot of change. And it doesn't matter if you've been a believer for 1 month or if you're a believer for 30 years plus. There ought to be change going on, because none of us are Christ-like to the extent that we ought to be. Ephesians chapter 5, 1 through 21, I'm going to spare you, I'm not going to read the whole section. God calls for genuine believers to walk in three specific ways. What are they, and how would that look? Now here are the three. If you look at Ephesians 1 and 2, particular verse 2, it says, therefore be imitators of God, dear children. That's dear children. And I think of this because I do have grandchildren around. And I watch how they look at me, and sometimes you'll see them trying to do exactly what you're doing. You know, that's how we are to be of God. That's why we ought to read the Word of God and purpose to respond to life the way He would have. He does. Verse 2 says, walk in love, as Christ also loved us and has given Himself for us. Look down at verse 8. We're to walk in love. And verse 8 says, we're to walk as children of light. And then if you jump down to verse 15, it talks about walking again. See then that you walk circumspectly. Okay, so what is he looking for in genuine believers? We're to be walking in love, we're to be walking in the light, as children of light, and we're walking circumspectly. How does walking in the love look? How does that look? I'll tell you what it looks like for me. When you're tired and you have plans, or you're excited about doing something else, and then an opportunity presents itself for you to be used of God, you don't grumble about it. You just take it as God's leading, and you invest yourself in that opportunity. That's love. Sacrificially give of yourself to meet the need of another. You don't sit around and say, no, you know what, that's not right. That's not fair. I'm not going to do that this time. I deserve this or I deserve that. No, that's not walking in love. Love is all about giving of ourselves to meet the needs of others. It's a good way to be expended. Number two, walking as children of light says you don't get caught up in the craziness of this day. Even in the name of Christ, some of the craziest ideas have been presented. You know, people on the radio often are promoting things that if you would just sit back and think about it, you'd say, man, I don't remember reading that. Or I don't think that passage really says that. So we ought to be walking in the light. We ought to have an understanding of the truth of God and see His hand and see His path. Trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not on our own understanding. All the ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct our path. Much safer. And then the other one is walk circumspectly. You know what that says? Be careful. Tons of opportunities to do wrong and bring shame to Christ as a result. Paul calls for us to walk in love, walk as children of light, and walk circumspectly. What do the following verse teach us about God's desire for believers. In verse 3, chapter Colossians 3, 5, it says, therefore, put to death your members which are on earth, fornication, uncleanness, passions, evil desires, covetousness, which is idolatry. He's talking about us putting to death the misdeeds of this flesh that we live in. You say no to it. I don't care if you've done it for 30 years. You say no to it as a believer. Say no, not doing that anymore because my God has asked me not to. Romans, you know, I'm going through these verses now. Romans chapter 8, verse 13 through 14. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. When I read that, I am stirred with the thought that I am supposed to be living in the power of the Spirit of God. And that is comforting. I don't have to have the energy to do everything. I just need to tap in to the one who is all-powerful. And then if he wants me to do it, he's going to give you the capability, the power to get it done. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 says, but reject profane and old wives' fables. And guess who should have turned her phone off? I had it loud enough. That's what you do when you have hearing aids. You turn the things up, but oh well. 1 Timothy 4, 7. But reject profane and old wives' fables and exercise yourself towards godliness. Exercise yourself towards godliness. Isn't that a fascinating way that the Spirit of God had that written down? Exercise yourself towards godliness. You're working at it. You're working out, and you recognize it isn't accomplished in one setting. It's a lifelong process. Philippians 3:12-14. But I have already attained and am already perfected, but I press on. Not that I have already obtained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Here's the point. You keep working at change, forgetting the things of the past. Press on. Now, when I'm using this in a one-on-one discipleship, I don't answer. I hope you recognize that. We read it together, and then I be quiet. And they have to make their own best estimate from reading the Scripture. And here's the number one thing I find in people that you first start working with. They will answer questions that you ask them in this setting based on their theology and not the verse that they have their Bible open to. That's the number one thing you have to help them get over. See, I understand that that might have been what you taught in the past, and I'm not saying that is a theological falsehood, but what does this verse say? And we go back and read it slowly and ask them to read it slowly and say, what does the verse say about this? That's a very, very important truth to help them gather. You know, you can read the other ones, but for 2 Peter, I'll just kind of give you what my thoughts were. 2 Peter 3:14, put much effort towards living a godly life. That's 2 Peter 3:14. I don't have time to read it. The Ephesians chapter 6, 10 through 17 is all about use the whole armor of God. It doesn't use just one aspect of it. Use the whole aspect of it listed in that passage. And James passage 4:7, resist the devil. It says that there is some need for us to say, no, I'm not going that direction. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, cast all that hinders you. Cast off all that hinders you. I'll read that and we'll close. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. You know, for some people, that may mean they're going to throw away their iPod and not listen to the wrong type of music. For others, it may be, I'm not going to renew my membership at the health club because it's become my God. We have to look at our lives, and if something has become so important to us that it takes us away from being the man or woman that God wants us to be, get it to the trash can. Get it out of your life. And the truth is, I cannot look at you and you cannot look at me. We got to look at ourselves. Because it'll vary from person to person. But I'll tell you what, it's a challenge for all humanity. And we should not be so arrogant as to think that we're not subject to those types of temptations that could draw us away. Heavenly Father, thank you. I thank you. I pray that this would be helpful. I pray that some in here would keep these notes and be using them in the lives of others. Lord, help us. Help us to be individually committed to helping others and helping one another to walk in such a way that you'd be honored. In Jesus' name, amen.